Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Annabelle Tennis, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today, so sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we will have a great guest here to introduce, It is, first of all, Karina Schuster. She's a really outstanding journalist, I have to say, award-winning tech journalist, moderator, and storyteller exploring AI, digital culture, ethics, and the future of human communication. And then Dr. Ebru Yildiz, I'm very happy to have you here. Welcome to Ebru is a medical doctor, transparent leader, and advocate for organ donation, combining medicine, ethics, and human-centered healthcare leadership, and not forgetting empowering women. So let's talk, let's start before talking with a song.
Bile bazen boğuyor. Ben sabit duruyorum, her şey üstüm üstüme geliyor. Akıl bulmaz deliler beni buluyor. Her şeyin en iyisini bilirsiniz, her şey hakkında var fikriniz. Sayın ama veriyor Mevlam sizi, bir bitmediniz. Boş ver diyorum kendi kendime, takma kafayı salla. Yürüp gülüp geçmek en güzeli vallahi. Boş vermiyorum dedim kendime, savaşçı ol hiç korkma. Gün olur devran dönersen susma. Boş vermiyorum dedim kendime, savaşçı ol hiç korkma.
Welcome here to the show, Dr. Ebru. How are you doing?
Thanks. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I love what you have behind you. Not everybody can see it. The listeners, I have to describe it. It's a very colorful background you are sitting in front. And interestingly, it shows some organs, but in the middle, it shows hands. It shows four hands giving a present. Is this something or which means also a lot to you, this symbol?
This is the present of life. This is the logo of my transplant centrum. We just transplant all four organs by us because of this, the four organs, heart, kidneys, lung, and the liver. And at this, at the present of life, we can give when we do organ donation.
That's interesting. I'm curious. I know that this topic is something where people talk a lot about it. They don't not only talk a lot about it, or they don't talk a lot about organ transplantation if they don't need one, but they talk a lot about organ transplantation if they're in this field and know how hard it sometimes is to get an organ at the right time for the right person. And we all know, or we know, I think, you and me at least, know that sometimes it's very hard for a person to get the right organ at the right time. And that even if you get a right organ at the right time, it doesn't mean that this person heals or that the organ is accepted. It is often a very long process or procedure of healing, of feeling also that this is mine, often also something which comes along with feeling guilty, with feeling that you're not one person anymore. Do you want to add something to this? What to my th thoughts which just came through my mind?
It's very hard to wait because you know there is a healing point. Medicine can heal me, but you don't know if they would do it because you don't know if there will be the organ donation. And that is a hard time, just for the patients, but also for the family and the friends round about, or the children. Yeah, when you have got a children, I have got a patient. I had ever think I know him. He had to write a book, and then I read the book, and I don't know him, and I don't know what he had fears for. He hadn't fear to die. He had fear for his children, and once of the children said at once time, "Oh, Dad, nice to make this with you." Now I think they would play something. You had me die for years. But I can do this now with you. And that's hard for a dad to hear this. And I
Absolutely.
will ch change this. I will change this because we have this medicine and we have to do this. It is not possible and not acceptable if we don't can heal these persons.
I mean, this sounds really profound. That sounds really, really dramatically also. If you think about some situations which could arise, would you say what would you say? How much is your work dominated by emotional matters, emotional topics?
Well, I couldn't say. I would say 100% it's all emotional for me.
Yeah, because I mean, I think if you need to put your emotions away, then you are a kind of machine. But being emotional, is that what makes a difference in your job? Isn't it that?
Yes, it's for me. Is it definitely so? I just don't treat patients. Since I'm in the management, so I can't just work emotional. That's a part of me what's empower me to make this awareness for organ donation.
We speak so often about where do we still need human, where do we still need people. I would say this is an area where we will always and ever need people because of this emotional part.
Yes.
You don't need to say anything, right? If you're, I mean, talking about emotions, I could imagine. I mean, and I mean, I don't know you by heart, but I think I know you enough to be sure that it makes something with you. That there are situations where you are closing the door of the hospital, but you haven't closed the door of your heart, and it's still something which matters. Where you think about this person or that person, how do you keep yourself healthy, emotionally stable, but also healthy? What practices do you have? Because I can imagine that this is a job which is not a 9-to-5 job.
First of all, my family and my own children. That's the first time of my resilience, but also the people or the patients who had get healed. I just look after them and I see why I do this. And that's my resilience point to make this job and be strong in this time.
That this is understandable. This is really understandable. How old are your children?
8 and 12.
Wow, so an age where they really need their parents, very where
Yeah.
they really need their mother. Have you brought them also to your job that they see what the mother does?
Yes, they see what I do, and they also make awareness for organ donation at our school. So the next generation coming.
Wow. This is of course really inspiring. I mean, was it your children are in an age where often also the idea of what job is that? What will be my job? What job with me where I want to fulfill my dreams, my wishes. What was your idea when you were 8 or 12 about your job?
I know until 5 years that I will be a medical doctor.
Oh wow. How did
And
it
also
come?
my children. Also, I didn't know how was it to come. I think always about if there was something in my childhood why I get this choice. I didn't know, but I was 5 years as I was as I know I will be a medical doctor, and I ever try to get this dream, and I have reached it.
And was it also clear for you that Germany is the location where you would like to realize all of this?
Oh, I was born in Germany,
Mm-hmm.
but my parents were the generation whoever wanted to go back to her land where they come from. They come from Turkey, and so the first years I lived there as my grandmother, because they had to say, okay, we just want to get money and then we go back to Turkey. But this would never be realized. And my grandma says, now she's 5, you can't get her back, or you had to come. So I had to come to Germany, and it was normal for me to make this all here in Germany. But I have a I'm there often in Turkey, and I make also my studied practice in Turkey, and so I'm a bridge to Turkey medical. I try to build now this medical bridge Germany Turkey, because I think we could learn from each other a lot, and this international work is not so much this is what I see, and I try to build this bridge. Yes.
What would you say are the cultural differences between Germany and Turkey?
Oh, I think the culture difference is more here in Germany than in Turkey themselves. Germany in Turkey the culture goes up in the years, but the people who migrate to Germany just stay in this culture of the years when they come here in. So we have more differences in Germany than in Turkey themselves with Germany. But it is more emotional. That's it's so Germans are more rational when there are problems. And the Turkish people are more emotional when they make decidings. That's so, and I have both, and that's very good. I can think rational, but I never forgot my emotional thinking in this, and that helps me in the medicine, because you ha have to you must have both of them. You must be rational because you had to help. But there are people who you help, and you can't do this without emotion. So that helps me.
I can really imagine, as it fits the same to me, having parents with roots in Mediterranean Eastern countries, but also Netherlands, gives me a completely other approach to behave in different situations, where I sometimes think that I live my life fuller because of more emotions. But on the other hand, I love my life also in a sometimes more in a way that people don't understand me here in Germany, not knowing why I'm smiling the whole time, for example, or why bad things happen, but I smile and move on. Or why, for example, children education means a completely different thing to me than Preußisch education, for example. And I'm thankful for a cult being a culture bridge holder, as I think
Yes.
you are, because it makes life not easier, but it makes life fuller, fruitfuler, and funnier, and yeah, even also sometimes more discussion-like, right?
It's a very good description. Yes.
In transplantation medicine, of course, this is something very serious. Every decision carries emotional weight. And what we got from news sometimes sounds really weird. If I think back, for example, about this young boy where they put a frozen organ into his body. And this boy couldn't really live as this organ was frozen when they put it into his body. How has this transplantation medicine changed your perspective on life itself?
Oh, I couldn't say that something automatically. I just make my Facharzt at the University of Medicine of Essen, and we have ever transplantation, so it doesn't change. It's just in my life, but to see how we can help, that changed my life. That was changed. It's not the medicine as medicine. Other friends, other families who just changed my visibility on this healing. Just give a life back. The others are operations. You just put a transplant, a operation on a person. It's just a quality to give back. But in this side, you give lives back. And it's not a one life, are more lives. The children, the parents, the family, you touch a life, and that's wonderful. That's something I can't describe it.
Why do you think, and this is the last question before our small break, why do you think society still struggles so deeply with the topic of organ donation?
They just have fear to speak about the death, about their own death. They don't want to speak about it. And because of that, I think we experts had to speak transparent about this team to get their fear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because fear is essentially nothing bad, right? It is just something which warns you. And
Yes.
normally it should warn you before really bad situations where you have to run away then or have to fight. But this is something completely different. And we step more into this topic after the break. So stay tuned. We see each other back in 2 minutes.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach. Here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Ibra and I, we talked before the break about organ donation, organ transplantation. This is a very sensitive topic. And I remember, I think it's 2 years ago, that there was an action at a fair where one of my colleagues at that time, because I was at that time a moderator in television, and he called me and he said, "Annabelle, do you want to see me in live television?" He said, "I will be tattooed." I said, "Tattooed? Okay,
yes.
That's interesting. Where? What?" He said, "Oh, there's an organization and you can put a tattoo somewhere where it's visible and then they know that you said yes to organ donation. So when something happened to me, they just see from my tattoo that they can take the organ and use them for other people." I said, wow, this is something really inspiring. And we discussed this with a colleague from television. And I would say that 5 from 100 were really willing to do something like this. Of course, you have to see not everybody wants to be tattooed. But some others said that they are frightened that, for example, somebody sees that they are willing and they get murdered. So as we hear, of course, bad stories from other countries where this is not just something which is sometimes happening, which is a kind of business model, sounds bad, but business model for people with criminal ambitions. So what would you say to these people? And do you have maybe a story, maybe an experience which touched you, which might touch also these people doubting?
I don't have exactly a story, but we had to tell the people we couldn't murder them because they had to be brain dead. In Germany, I just talk about Germany. In Germany, you had to be brain dead to make an organ donation. That means you had to be in a hospital, you have to be in the ICU, and then you had to get brain death, so you could perhaps make an organ donation. Just when I see the tattoo or when I see the card of organ donation, I couldn't just get your organs on the street, on the normal hospital station. It isn't possible. And it's just sensation to talk about this. Yeah, I get murdered and all the media just talk about this. But we experts have to ever talk. You have to get brain death. To get brain death, you had to be on hospital. You had to get in ICU. And then we can just talk about. And always, I say, I'm also intensive medicine care expert. When a doctor will ask you if there is an organ donation possible, then you can be sure you had to get the best medicine ever. Because then you get brain death. We couldn't do something for your brain. You just get death, but your organs are very good. And that's the end of the best medicine you get.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to share maybe a story with us, if you are allowed to, that people can understand how great it could be after waiting such a long time to find somebody from whom you get an organ?
I don't understand what you mean.
Are you allowed to share a story from somebody who waited and got in sudden an organ and survived after being and struggling and not knowing if he will?
If I could share this, or
yes, if you could share this.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you're allowed, but.
It's allowed when I don't say names of the patients. It's very okay. But I think about, I ever think about this dad who waits for a liver, and he just, we call him the third time he get an organ. And it was, I think, more waiting 2 days. I don't think that he was alive. It was his last time to come to us. And now he is very well, very healthy. He makes sports. He's a very he has a big influencer also. He influences much about his family, not about transplantation. He just makes awareness a little bit of organ donation, but he makes sports, very much sports. And the problem of transplanted patients has also a lot of complications. And the father also have a complication where we think about, oh, he can be dad of this problem, but he makes so good sports, have so much muscles that he get alive the fourth time. And that's the people who I see and who wait a long time. In Munich, yes, oh, the boy Herzbube Daniel, also influenza, the mama influence. He gets in hospital. He wasn't 1 year old, and he waits 3 years on a machine who has the battery function for 20 minutes. This boy just grew up in a hospital room and just lived this hospital room just for 20 minutes in his life. Now he's growing up. You can see all the growing up of this boy on Instagram. That's the lives we see.
Wow. And how has he, how does he describe this situation where he was in hospital and growing up in hospital?
I don't know him personally. I just take him from the Instagram, but it's not a normal growing up for a child. A child who is 1 year old can't live this room. There are many deficits with which the mom and the dad had to be now in his life to get back.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing this with us. One short question. What concerns you most about the future of healthcare in times of AI acceleration and staff shortages? Nothing?
Nothing.
Good. That's great. I hope that you give an answer like this because, of course, we have to talk about challenges, but knowing you, I know that you are positive and more, even what, right? So thank you so much, April, for sharing your time with us, sharing your vision with us, and sharing some of the insights from your daily work with us, and from that, what drives the world a better future. I'm very much looking forward to seeing you again and to doing further things together with you, as I think women in health, this is something which needs further for further support.
Thank you very much.
So then I welcome here Karina Schuster. Welcome, Karina.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. So excited to be here.
And where we had before somebody from medicine, a medical doctor and leader of the West German Center for Organ Transplantation in Essen, with the work goes far beyond clinical excellence, but also focusing on women, we have now here somebody who is also somebody who likes to empower women with her voice. Karina is somebody who is bridging also technology, media, and humanity. She's an award-winning tech journalist, moderator, and digital storyteller, explores one of the defining questions of our era: what happens to truth, to trust, and human identity when AI begins to shape how we communicate, create, and connect. From AI ethics to digital culture and the future of storytelling, her work challenges us to look beyond the hype and ask what kind of society we actually want to build. So, welcome, Karina.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Just a few words, like I'm so excited about being here. And I was also excited about Ebru's story, also because my mom, she's also a nurse. So making an impact in healthcare, education, I think it's really, really important that we stick together as women. And I think that each sector is very important, but I always admire people saving lives. And I mean, also having people work in this kind of environment, I'm really proud of them because I very much know that I couldn't be capable of doing something like that. So that's a superpower. That's just a couple of words.
Thank you so much, Karina. We talked with Ebru about culture. You observe AI not only as a technology, but also as a culture. What psychological change around AI concerns you most right now?
Well, that's a very interesting question. Definitely, we are kind of witnessing a kind of change around the world, like globally, politically, economically. And from a journalistic standpoint, I think that I always said that AI, if you're using it in a positive manner and educationally, I think that it can make a positive impact. It could also be a challenge. So that's also something that we discussed in Davos during the World Economic Forum and at a house of collaboration with other inspiring ladies and like-minded individuals. I think that AI is definitely going to disrupt a lot of environments, whether that we're talking about journalism, whether we're talking about education, definitely a lot of sectors. But looking also at the World Economic Forum's report, we definitely foresee a lot of change in terms of jobs. Like when we are opening up the news, we are tapping into this kind of negative environment of like people losing their jobs, like a lot of layoffs. And that's why I was kind of also inspired to create, for example, SciTech Suisse, that it's a podcast focusing on disruptive technologies such as AI, Web3, quantum computing. And I'm really proud to actually have been able to come with a kind of educational input because I think that especially growing up in different kind of countries and have gone through different kind of educational systems, I think that it's really important to kind of educate people about like the safe use of AI and looking at different kind of guidelines. Also, I think that it's really inspiring when you see people using AI, but at the same time to see the kind of impact that they're making. So there were a lot of interesting conversations about like AI. We are using Claude, Perplexity, there's like a lot of technological advancements, but I think that we really need to foresee also the kind of psychological impact, reading a lot of papers and a lot of research. Unfortunately, the side effect is also the kind of negative impact that it has on our cognitive abilities. So I always recommend it to kind of do your own research because if you're just putting all your trust in AI, just suddenly in AI, but you're not actually putting your own input when it comes to, I don't know, writing an email, when it comes to writing an essay, or when it comes to just doing research, like just fast checking. I think that it can be quite challenging because, like, we witness a lot of biased sort of information, and there's, of course, not just as a journalist, but I think that also from a consumer standpoint, like when it comes to trustworthiness and when it comes to the kind of information that we are actually researching. So I think that it will definitely be beneficial for people to still have like books. I mean, definitely we can talk about like AI when it comes to, for example, editing content. It can be really useful. It can be I interviewed a lot of interesting people. So when it comes to adopting AI and psychology or creating this kind of virtual environments, when it comes to Web3, when it comes to automatization. So it can definitely It can definitely be disruptive. It can definitely create a very interesting and playful environment. And I'm definitely positive when it comes to these kind of changes. But I think that we need to focus also on upskilling people about AI because, okay, when we are looking at reports, what we are facing right now is that some jobs will actually disappear from the market and we need to make place for like new jobs. But at the same time, I think that we need to reassure people that, okay, you maybe some people lose their jobs, but at the same time, new jobs are coming. So it's definitely time for a change. Also, when it comes to, and I always say that there is always the first impact that we need to make starts from education. So maybe introducing like new tutorials on how to edit or how to actually manage your finances or how to live a healthy lifestyle, but also, you know, to actually make sure that you take care of your mental health. And if we can use technology to automate tasks, that's great, that's wonderful. But at the same time, I think that we need to shed light or also on these kind of topics and also to reassure people that there's trust and credibility and there is also safety in terms of using this kind of technology. And I definitely at my countries like China, when it comes to AI adoption, for example, but also creating some, you know, some specific rules that people can obey to and to ensure that their safety first.
Thank you so much. Safety first, ethical first. Would you say, are we entering an era where authenticity itself becomes a luxury product?
I definitely think that it's quite challenging being authentic because when you're also a journalist yourself, so I'm pretty sure that you know, because everyone is kind of, I would say, is focusing on perfection. When we are looking at jobs, at the job market, when we are looking at the news, when we are looking at social media, I think that everyone is focusing on this kind of perfection, just showing. I just had this conversation recently, so I'm really glad that you are approaching this kind of topic because I think that a lot of people are focusing on just showing off like their best version of themselves. Like you're tapping into Instagram and you just see everyone, I don't know, living this kind of luxurious lifestyle where they're just, you know, traveling from Bali to different countries, from Bali to Dubai, or just kind of showing off only the best version of themselves. And I think that this can also be a kind of this can lead to also a lot of distrustful kind of content because I think that everyone is kind of focusing on just showing off like the best version of themselves. But staying authentic also in this kind of rapid changes when it comes to AI, when it comes to technology, I think that from a journalistic standpoint, as I mentioned, it's always great to differentiate between like we need to redefine like what is trustworthiness in terms of content, like what I can trust, what I shouldn't trust. And I think that it can create like a lot of distress also when it comes to the user behavior or when it comes to this kind of technology built to kind of make consumers be addicted, like when it comes to doom scrolling instead of maybe reading a book or just reducing social media. So I think that it's definitely challenging to be sort of also what is authentic nowadays. I think that if we need to allow people to be authentic, at the same time, we need to redefine what authenticity means because it can have like a different meaning to each one of us. But to me, as a journalist, it's being able to use your voice and to actually make an impact. And I think it really starts with also, I think it starts with what kind of message you want to share with the world.
Thank you so much. A message with a word. That's a good sentence. This would bring us now into a small break. And afterwards, we continue with some very important questions. I feel that these are very important questions. I'm looking forward to getting into the further talk with you. So see you again in 2 minutes. Please stay tuned.
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We talked about, Karina, about journalism. And yes, being both journalists, of course, it touches us, maybe very special. What happens to journalism when AI can imitate tone, emotion, and narrative almost perfectly?
That's a really good question. I think that we need to go back to what authenticity means. And also, as a journalist, I feel this kind of heavy responsibility on educating people and to kind of reporting the truth. But then we need to question ourselves, like, what is the truth? Like, because there are so many different perspectives. That's why we have so many news channels, and there's like a lot of polarization in terms of news and in terms of the content that we have online. I think that AI can either empower that, can either help us, like in the newsroom, for example. It can definitely help with so many things. It can definitely help with the research process. But I honestly always believe that we need to do like our research manually. But I think that in a creative process, like when it comes to editing, when it comes to just playing with these kind of tools, it can definitely be helpful. I think that the way that technology empowers us, like there's this book that I was reading that is called 10 Visions for the Future, for Our Future by Kai-Fu Lee. It definitely gives you a kind of perspective of technology, like also the dangers of technology that we have nowadays. And also a few predictions that we might have, because as I was saying before, by 2030, we'll have like maybe, you know, for sure. I mean, not maybe, for sure, we'll have like new jobs in the market. But I think that what an AI machine can never do, it's actually imitating the tone, because we have like this kind of warmth as humans. And I think that definitely, I always say that humans are behind machines. Like we are the embodiment of humanity, and we are the ones who actually created these kind of machines. And it's definitely great to foresee how the future can be really brilliant, and how technology can automate so many things that we were that we didn't see like in the past. And when we think about like these kind of companies like NASA, I'm definitely, you know, it's definitely fascinated. And as a journalist, as I mentioned, I think that we should definitely still educate ourselves. There's so many, there's so much research to do. And that's why I was also thinking about like writing a book and to motivate people to kind of use technology safely. And I'm really glad that there are also a lot of brilliant journalists out there, such as Sophia Smith-Gaylor, adding value and adding a lot of information in terms of using technology safely and also adapting in this kind of era, because I think it can be quite challenging, because a lot of people are, they can distrust. It's creating like a lot of distrust in terms of the technology adoption. But I think that, I mean, I'm quite positive in terms of what technology can do. But at the same time, I think that the more we are reading, the more we are educating ourselves, I think the better it is, whether that it's like personal development, whether that it's journalism, whether that is business. I think that staying educated is actually the key.
Absolutely. Today, Amy Webb says that she thinks that the younger generation won't use whether social media, but even also not the internet anymore. What do you think? Where will we find these younger generation? Where will we be able to talk to them, to communicate to them, to give them an idea about what's happening in the world, which is more or different than that what they might see on TikTok, Spotify, or some other sources, where it's not guaranteed that the information they get is accurate, is true.
That's a really good question. So I remember that during COVID, the younger generation was actually spending a lot of time. First of all, we were all spending a lot of time indoor, and the younger generation spent also a lot of time on these kind of platforms such as Roblox. And I think that it definitely created a shift in terms of the way that we communicate. And I've always been this kind of person, like really passionate about the 90s and the 2000s, because I think that seeing these kind of trends, like going back to this kind of analog technology, I think it definitely created more space for like human interaction. And I think you will definitely agree with that, because I
Yes.
think that technology, as I was saying, like it should definitely empower us, and AI can definitely do that. But at the same time, I think that it should definitely be like a sort of balance. What I'm actually really nervous about is actually probably the safety in terms of like the creating like safer guidelines, because I think that if we are just like, I mean, if we are just relying just on a couple of newspapers, or we are just relying on only a piece of information that is presented to us, and we are not like researching properly. Or, for example, I don't know, there's like a lot of platforms such as Verity News, where you can see grading on machine learning, where you can see more perspectives in terms of news. Or I don't know, even when it comes to social media, I think that we need to take like everything with a grain of salt. But I think that the only way of making an impact is probably using your own voice. Like one thing that it's really making me happy is people creating their own shows, like creating their own podcasts. And I think that podcasts are like a new way of communication, because social media, as I was saying, everyone is kind of spending a lot of time on social media, unfortunately, and even algorithms are picking up on the kind of keywords and information. And therefore, I think that the kind of content that we consume daily can definitely affect us also mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Therefore, I think that a lot of people are definitely going to spend like a lot of time on social media, and definitely also other platforms that we will foresee in terms of Web3 applications. And I think that we need to ensure, first of all, that social media is a safe place to stay. And also in terms of education, like one thing that it's really making me happy, as I was saying, is that we have like so much content out there. On one side, like if we are comparing these kind of times to the 90s, or I don't know, early 90s or early 2000s, I think that's before people needed to go to the library, needed to do like more research manually. And now we just, you know, we can just go on Google Scholar. Like we have plenty of information. It's like the way that we filter information, I think it's probably one of the key challenges. Also, one thing that some of my teachers, who are also fellow journalists, tell me that there is so many voices out there, and we democratized news. But at the same time, I think that the way that we filter information is probably essential.
Exactly. That's really the truth. Being so much in this middle, being so much in this change process, how do you keep yourself healthy?
Oh, I love this question. So I definitely don't think that I'm a health expert. I'm not a coach. Definitely, protecting your mental health is very important. Therefore, probably just checking your algorithm and the kind of news that you're consuming. But also in terms of food, I think that definitely you are what you're eating. So definitely being more careful, also at the things that you're eating, definitely drinking more water. And after 25, I think that it's definitely important to take more supplements. But also, as I was saying, I'm not a health expert, so I think that each one of us is different. So what might apply to myself, it might not apply to other hundreds of people out there. If you have, for example, PCOS, which is polycystic ovary syndrome, you might be more careful with what you're eating, about your sugar intake. So I think that we have like plenty of content out there. There's also a lot of content creators that I'm actually following and I'm taking a lot of advice. But at the same time, I would just say that do your own research. And as everyone is saying, it's really important also the quality of food that you're intaking. So if you have the chance to actually do your grocery shopping, or I don't know, just buy things straight from the market, from farmers, the better it is. And also, I think that I don't know, there's like a lot of creative ways in how you can ensure that you have a healthy breakfast, or all your meals are actually planned and thought. So definitely do your own research and try probably also to include like salads and fruits in everything that you are eating. Maybe less junk foods. And I don't know, definitely for some of us who are working from home, there's like a sort of luxury when it comes to, I don't know, eating at home, cooking at home. But it's definitely a fun way to actually be creative also with the kind of meals that you're preparing. So definitely, I think that what applies to myself, it doesn't apply to other people. But one thing that I can say is spend less time just inside. Just go out, try to travel also more, try to also meet people, and try to also fix your sleep schedule. Those things definitely change my life.
That sounds good. Sleeping is indeed really great. And what you said is super truth. It is so great what our wonder body has itself in itself already. So just sleeping, good sleeping helps a lot. And if we would listen to our intuition, and we get also much, much more information from our body, telling us what we should do or what we should avoid, with whom we should sit and talk together, and with whom we shouldn't avoid that, right? Do you think the younger generation would trust human less and algorithms more?
That's a very interesting question. So I think that people are definitely asking more questions, are definitely more inquisitive and curious. And I think that also when it comes to technology and algorithms, again, when I was interviewing someone from NASA, I loved her quote when it comes to empowering humanity, doing things that are actually empowering us humans. So I think that technology can be an ally if we know how to use that. So when it comes to algorithms, what it's really happening is that those things are actually built in a certain way. And also when it comes to Instagram, we can definitely decide like what kind of content we want to see more. And definitely, when it comes to news consumption, I always say that take everything with a grain of salt, like ask more questions, never stop like educating yourself. Try to, I don't know, I always listen to podcasts lately. There's also The Diary of a CEO. It's one of my favorite podcasts. Or read more books when it comes to personal development, when it comes to protecting your own peace, your mental health. Those things are definitely important. But in terms of like communication, as I was saying, I think that a lot of people who have access to social media, they are all content creators. And I think that they can all be creative in so many ways. So I think that's behind algorithms. There's people creating all sorts of news. So I think that if we are really mindful, then we can become more expert in selecting like what we want to have more in our lives.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Karina. Last question. When you have a wish free, which field would you like to work in 10 years?
I think that I can definitely see myself as a professional storyteller. So definitely, I think that's a very important skill to have because interviewing so many people working in the tech environment, they all told me that the most successful people are actually the storytellers because they know how to communicate a product. They know how to communicate with consumers. So I think that whoever has like brilliant communication skills and they become also experts in using AI and the more you're learning, the better it is. But definitely, I will say that I definitely can see myself like I don't know what's going to happen in 10 years from now. It's very difficult to actually predict that. Even experts who try to predict the future, they just gave their own predictions. If you read the 10 visions for the future, you'll definitely have like a better understanding in terms of technology, what we actually had and what could possibly potentially happen in the future. But I think that one thing that I see as a trend is actually people owning social media and becoming like storytellers.
Thank you so much, Karina. Thank you so much, Ebru. It was a pleasure with you. That wraps up our episode of We Empower, the weekly radio show dedicated to celebrating the strength, resilience, and limitless potential of us, of women and men around the globe. Join us again next week as we continue on this empowering journey, sharing real stories of triumph, upliftment, and empowerment. Your presence and engagement means the world to us, and we appreciate you taking the time to tune in. Don't hesitate to get involved. Your voice is valued, and together we can make a difference. Together, we rise.
I'll smile, don't know what it takes to fool this town. I'll do it till the sun goes down.